We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, good morning, Portland. It's just about time. We'll get your day started right here with Dusty and Cam on 10 AM. We'll get up and get started. It's time for Dusty and Cam. Just around 6, shower, shave, and coffee. It's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love your dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning, happy Friday to you, the 5th of June, 2020. Dusty here, Cam Cleland. Good morning, Mr. Cleland, how are you?
Howdy-do.
Howdy-doody.
I watched Young Guns last night. Ooh. Oh, it's been a long time since I've seen that movie. Could that ending not be more hysterical than any other ending you've ever watched in a Western? Three dudes.
They are kind of outlandish.
They're
going to
get out of
finishes.
Yeah, of the three guys, they get out of like 50. Just ride right through 50 guys with guns storming down the house. I forgot at that time, because every time I think of the movie, I think of Bon Jovi. It's a great song.
Dead or Alive?
Yeah, because Regulators, Mount Up.
Yeah.
And then I throw some Warren G in there, and it makes it even better. That was the most outlandish finish in a movie. There's been some outlandish finishes, like Heat. Heat's one of the better
movies. Heat is a good one.
That was pretty crazy. Emilio Estevez, tough guy.
Refresh my memory here on how it all goes down. It's been a really long time.
It's 1988. That movie is...
I have not seen Young Guns.
Oh, Kiefer Sutherland.
I think I was a teenager the last time I saw that movie.
I was in college.
I remember where I was when I was in college.
Yeah.
I really don't remember the ending, to be honest with you. Yeah. I remember Emilio Estevez being in it, and that's about the extent of the kid.
He's Billy the Kid. It's just fascinating movie. It's just like none of these guys are tough cowboys, and it was crazy. And they were law and order, and then they went full crazy trying to take down the bad guys, and they got pinned in a house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in Lincoln.
Right.
They got pinned in this house. And they were trying to defend one of the lawyers. And there were, let's see, I think there were five of them. And then they had all the guys that were there. They had a huge posse of guys lined up in front. And then in came the military. The military came in. And so you had, I don't know, it looked like it was Custer's last stand or whatever. I mean, there's just 100 dudes out there. And the five of them are like, let's go out. And then in the end, the house starts burning. They run out of the house. Two get killed. But three of them mysteriously grab horses in the middle of the shooting, ride right through everybody, miss everything, got out, and then they kill the bad guy. And then the bad guy they kill is the same guy in City Slickers, and his actor's name is missing me. You know, City Slickers, the old guy?
Jack Palance. Yeah,
Jack Palance is the bad guy. I totally forgot about that. Excellent bad guy. I forgot how good Young Guns was, but boy, was that a little stretched.
You talk about tough guys. You had Emilio Estevez, Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah, Lou Diamond Phillips.
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
And Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland. That was straight 80s. It's great.
Oh,
and a great song.
Man.
Just a great song.
Emilio Estevez went on to coach a youth hockey team.
That's what my kid goes, Dad, isn't that the guy from Mighty Ducks? I went,
Charlie Sheen went on to pitch for the Indians.
That's right. Just a year later.
Quite the career change from cowboy to reliever.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen shot dead right in there.
In the movie.
From a guy in the outhouse.
Yeah.
From not Brian Dennehy. I forgot the other guys. Oh, the guy that played. Okay.
Brian Dennehy, RIP.
No, yeah, Brian Dennehy. The guy that shoots him is the same guy that is the old guy in Hardcastle and McCormick TV show. Yeah. You know, the judge in Hardcastle. You guys don't remember the TV show Hardcastle and McCormick, do you?
No.
It had a red
Never
race
seen
car.
Heard of it.
Oh, Google. Had a red race car called the Coyote.
Arr.
And he got this guy and he took this, I don't know if he was a racer or prisoner or something like that. And he said he took him under his wing and he played the judge. So the judge was the character that shot down Charlie. There's a lot of linking going on this. Mm. I know it was very 80s.
Speaking of that.
Best car, though. One of the best car TV shows ever. It hadn't a long run. I think it was only a 4-year run or a 3-year run. Car was awesome.
Speaking of that movie. Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen.
Emilio!
I was like, Emilio! Are the two movies that the Sheen brothers, are the two movies that they were in Young Guns and Men at Work? And could there be two films that two guys star in that could be completely opposites of a Western and two garbage men?
Shows you the versatility.
Some versatility.
Have all three of them, which movie were all three were together with Dad? Were they all together? Was it Wall Street? No, wait a minute.
I don't think Charlie was in
that
Wall
one.
Street.
Maybe not. I'm trying to think. Were they in a movie all three together?
I don't know.
They starred together. They had
I know
to
that have. At I, one point all of them were in The West Wing.
Oh, they're on a TV show.
Yeah,
where it was a feature film
where Martin Sheen was the president, and then Emilio played the young Jed Bartlett. President Bartlett, and I think Charlie, but they weren't on it all at the
Every
same time.
Every time you say Emilio, I it's Night at the Roxbury. You can't stop it. It's like, Emilio!
You mentioned Neighbors, too. I don't know why this sparked it, but I've told you we were moving. We're moving homes. Mm-hmm. And I've got a buddy who keeps sending me screenshots because he lives in the neighborhood that we're moving to of there apparently is a coyote in the neighborhood that is killing small animals and leaving them in the front yards of people's homes.
He's hungry.
Like he keeps, yeah. I've gotten like
hungry and showing off
and showing yeah. off. He's like, take that.
I get, there've
don't
been
leave
like
your cat out
over
here.
The last couple of weeks. I've gotten these screenshots of like, unfortunately I don't mean to be graphic here, but I found half of my cat in my front yard. It's like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
Where am I moving?
I had quite a few cats taken in my heyday growing
really?
Up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. 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 I lived out in the country.
Well, yeah.
In the sticks a little bit. But yeah, we had coyotes. We had, you know, just, yeah, the coyotes are just there.
They just get you.
Well, they caught the one. It was one of them I saw. It was on YouTube shot, but it was a family had both their dogs out. And they try to, they're very tactical. They're very smart, and they trap. And then one of the dogs got caught. His buddy chased after him, but then the mom ran out there and ran and scared the coyote. But the coyote ended up dropping one of the dogs in the middle, and they caught it all on their back camera, their night vision camera in their backyard. It was crazy. Ended up getting the dog back, but it's just the coyotes are. I mean, they're just like anything. They're just pack animals. I'm hungry. Yeah. I'm gonna go get. Pick it off. Natural selection.
They're not getting because like they're not getting as scared of the neighborhoods as they used to in people. Like they used to be a little bit more skittish. Those roll right into your neighborhood these days.
What's the rule out there?
On if you can, like, kill them?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I have no idea. Isn't that weird that there's some animals you can just be like, you can just off them, and then the other ones are like, no, you can't do that. You know?
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
I would occasionally see coyotes in the streets of North Beach, San Francisco when I was coming home late from work.
Really? What?
Yes.
Street coyotes.
So are they taking in like the strip clubs and porn shops or what?
It would always happen after it rained a ton, and it would like, there's a park right by my house.
Rats are coming out.
Exactly.
They're coming out.
The rodents would get flushed out, and the coyotes, I guess, would come down.
It's a meal. It's like a buffet.
From the nearby hills where they kind of would hole up most of the time, and if it was like quiet enough and it was, and I was, had been working on an extra innings baseball game and coming home around 1 a.m., see a coyote walking down the sidewalk in North Beach.
Sure. Very
strange.
Going home at 1 a.m. from North Beach, huh? Going home at that time, Buck?
I lived there.
Uh-huh.
What are you accusing him of doing? I don't get it.
Being out drinking?
It can be.
What's wrong with that?
North Beach, San Francisco can be a little shady.
The place to get Italian food, Dusty.
Best Italian food I've ever had has been there. Right across the place, like you're sitting, they had like patio seating out on the sidewalk, and it was like directly across the street from a place that like one of those marquee buildings that said like Adam and Eve's live sex show was right across the street. And I remember being a kid like having Italian food there. It was best Italian food though I've ever had in my life.
Dusty throwing shade at your town, Buck. How's that make you? I mean, come on.
Oh,
well,
he knows.
North Beach does have,
coming from Portland, that's really
quite a number of strip clubs.
You know, it'd be like if one of the best Italian restaurants had like patio seating just directly across the street from Mary's Club, and you were just looking at that all day long.
And you're like, that's just also going on here.
It's just right
What's
there.
What's the restaurant down on the wharf? The seafood restaurant?
Oh, Bubba and Bubba Gump Shrimp.
No, not that one. No, gosh dang it.
could be Alioto's. It could be.
No, there's a lot of seafood joints
down there.
I know,
there's like one that's right on the water. No, it's going to drive me crazy. Yeah. Very good restaurant. That helped a lot of people. The one on the water in
the
San
one
Francisco.
On the wharf.
That's the one you go to.
Yeah, that one. Wait, did I see like last week or a couple weeks ago, a large portion of the wharf caught on fire? Did that happen?
There was a fire down there a couple weeks ago. I don't know how much of it was taken down. But yeah, there was like a 4-alarm fire.
Wow. All right. We got sports show today. NBA is back and they're kicking around some ideas to create a home court advantage. Which is the most beneficial to create a home court advantage for the highest seeds in the NBA's return? Major League Baseball continuing to miss the point. Got that to talk about. And Mark Emmert spoke to Congress.
Oh, not to mention the Blazers are the most hated team in the NBA now.
Yeah.
Cam, was it SCOMAs?
SCOMAs. That's what it was.
There it is. So now if you go down to Fisherman's Wharf, you can go dine at SCOMAs.
All right. Yeah, Blazers are hated, huh?
Yeah, I saw CJ was defending it on Twitter.
I don't mind it.
You don't mind?
It passed. They knew it was going to pass.
I know, but why be the one? Why are you the one?
To love the players, man.
But why want somebody? I know somebody had to do it.
No,
but why
idea.
You? Why were you the one? I haven't even got an answer yet. What's the reason?
Oh, you don't know the reason? Okay. Well, I can explain that to you.
Is it a legitimate reason or is it just a reason?
Oh, no. It's not legitimate. It's just a reason.
Oh, I thought it was a legitimate reason.
No.
Oh.
No. We'll have our weekend, would you rather, at 8 o'clock. And I'll tell you what Woj had to say. Plus, it's a big day in Rip City. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. 503-250-1080 is the Fan text line. Happy Rip City Day, Mr. Cleland. On this date in 1977, the Blazers finished off the 76ers in the NBA championship.
Whoop, whoop.
Game 6 happened today.
Beat the doctor.
A little bit of happiness for people.
Yeah.
You see, party all the time. The Bill Walton stories of the celebration are fantastic.
Are they legendary or fantastic?
They are both?
I mean,
they can be both.
Not mutually exclusive.
No.
Not mutually exclusive, although fantastic means, I kind of look at it as, fantastic means they were epic, fun, enjoyable. Legendary means something went on that you might not want to talk about.
Both of those things happened. Bill Walton has talked about a lot of them.
He's talked about it? Oh, I never heard him talk about it.
He talked about...
Give me a little taste.
Passed out, I think, on Maurice Lucas's couch the night after they won the championship, and then they had the parade the next day, the championship parade. And Maurice Lucas apparently left him because Bill wasn't waking up.
Whoa, it was almost like Dwight Gooden here.
And Bill Walton hitchhiked to the championship parade.
You see, he didn't miss it.
He got picked up. Yeah, no. And he got a ride to the parade by some fans and just raged for like 3 days straight, which is kind of tame when you think about it now.
Is it?
Well, Matthew Dellavedova partied for like a week and a half. Do you remember the videos of him playing beer pong?
J.R. Smith didn't wear a shirt for a year.
That's a good point.
The Washington Capitals, they stopped in Vegas, for God's sakes, on the way home. The Washington Capitals, when they had their celebration,
yeah, Ovechkin,
that was like a week long.
He'd been sitting on that one for years.
Oh, yeah.
Years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's got a lot of teeth he had to make up for.
That's right.
I will drink until next morning.
I love it. Okay, you asked the question, why did the Portland Trail Blazers vote no for the restart of the NBA season? 29-1, it was passed.
So before you read this, whose source are you saying this to? Is this CJ saying this one? Because I read CJ's, and I didn't quite get what he meant by that. But which source are you saying?
Well, I saw Woj on SportsCenter last night.
Okay.
And he discussed it. And then, yeah, CJ McCollum CJ McCollum obviously tweeted yesterday that, it was because ownership is listening to the players and the restart. It was because Jody Allen and management, CJ McCollum just basically tweeted that he's appreciative of them for listening to the players and voting based on what the players were feeling.
Well, his exact quote is, this is his tweet, "We play for an ownership group that actually listens to its players and has a backbone.
Mm-hmm.
We voiced what we felt was the best option, and they followed our lead. I commend our front office and Jody Allen." And then Chris Haynes had mentioned it was a 20-team playmat. From what I'm hearing, nobody from the Trailblazers has said anything yet, just Chris Haynes, is that they wanted 20 instead of 22? Is it the extra two teams that they were upset about?
Yeah, well, it's a couple of things, according to Woj.
I don't think it's that they were upset about it. It's that there were multiple options on the table,
better
and they
options.
Just didn't think this was the best one. They wanted to vote for what they thought was the best one.
And but
you're the only one.
Just because you're the only one doesn't mean you're wrong.
Just
in
an
that.
Anomaly. I know, it's just like an anomaly. It's kind of like the guy that didn't vote for Ken Griffey Jr.,
right?
Well, what are we doing here?
Yeah, Woj said last night that there were several other teams that had told him they were going to vote no, but ultimately at the end changed course and just said, it's going to pass anyways, I'm going to vote yes. And so here's what Woj was saying last night on SportsCenter. It's that the Blazers felt that adding two extra teams did not help their chances to get to the playoffs. So it's kind of a selfish reason in that regard.
Sounds like it. Yep.
Because they felt 20 would help their chances more. But if it's 20, I mean, how does it hurt you even? How does it hurt you? Because if it's only 20 teams, you would assume it would be the Blazers, Pelicans, Kings, and Spurs, right? Because those teams are all within four games of Memphis for the eight spot. The other two are Phoenix and the Washington Wizards. So I'm not sure like how much that really hurts your chances of making it to the postseason, but they said that is one. Also, they were in favor of more of a round robin play-in pool play type situation. Is a proposal that has been floated out there. And again, since we haven't heard from the Blazers on exactly why they voted no, we don't know this to be certain. But then Woj also said that teams are not happy with the fact, and the Blazers are one of them, that if they lose some of the eight games that they play for the quote-unquote regular season, it doesn't help their lottery odds. So if they fail in this and don't make the playoffs, the Blazers wanted some reassurance that they could move up in the lottery, which by them being in this, they will have the lowest odds of any lottery team. So that's it.
So, okay. All right. So it sounds like because of the pandemic and because of all these certain situations that it's not going to be fair and their situation isn't the best, But it's better than nothing, right? Isn't that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I had the same question that you did. I was like, why? Why wouldn't you just vote yes for this? If you know it's going to pass, just vote yes for it. It sounds like, appears like it is just for ownership getting on the good side of its players and saying, we got your back on something.
All right.
Which, I guess...
Win more games during the regular season, then you don't have to worry about your draft status.
Ooh, I like the way you pronunciated status. Tomato, tomato.
Mm-hmm.
But, or I just think it's, lose more games and you'll be fine.
Optically, it throws Portland
I know.
Nationally under a point the finger. It just doesn't look good nationally. When it was like, who's the team? Every report I saw nationally was, Portland. Portland. Everyone went, oh, boy. I just looked at it and the barbs were out.
Well,
like, I mean, really?
Hey, guess
okay.
what? It still passed. And I mean, if it would have been, if Portland would have been, if what Woj was saying was true, and that there were other teams that were sitting there considering voting no, and they heading into it, they were thinking of voting no, but they ultimately just said, no, we're going to pass it. If enough teams did that and this didn't pass and Portland was one of them, then I would be upset. Because it's like, what are you doing? Just get basketball
back.
Oh,
I'm not upset. Yeah? I was just really curious.
Oh,
why.
No, I know you're not upset. But why? I would have been upset if they were one of the teams where if it narrowly lost and Portland was one of them, it's like, what are you guys doing? Why? Just get basketball back. This is better than nothing. And there's no need to gripe and look like baseball.
Ain't that the truth?
But, hey, basketball's back. We're happy about it.
It's 2 months away. So, but the guys are going to have a chance to get healthy-ish. You know, the story I saw that came out, which I think is worth bringing up just if we're on the basketball side. What do the Nets do if Kevin Durant decides to come back and play? What if he just says that changes the East outlandishly?
I already saw it.
He hasn't said anything. I know he mentioned right before this happens that I'm not coming back. I put out. But if he and Kyrie just go, what the heck? Let's go steal a championship.
Well, there is more buzz that is, it's like a kind of a growing sentiment. And Caesars Sportsbook lowered Brooklyn's championship odds from 750 to 1 to 60 to 1.
Well,
because
the
guy who runs their sportsbook said, look, we don't want to get caught with our pants down. And if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving decide that they're going to come back in the next month, we would be hosed if they actually did and they were good. So we just decided to drop it so low that now it's going to scare some people off, even though there's no real sign that Durant and Kyrie are going to be back. Because as you said, it's both come out of their mouths that, look, we're injured. We're not going to do this. But
you'd be 13 months. You'd be 13 months out. From your Achilles rupture and surgery. That's plenty of time to be very successful at. I mean, I can speak to that experience very quickly. I don't understand why he wouldn't want to, even if it was for a small amount of time, if you're going to train and come back and it's not a lot of games, it's kind of like an extra preseason that you get to have and do that. And what happens if you just catch fire in a little bit?
What if, I mean, if you were planning a comeback, wouldn't you want to keep it quiet? What if that's what they're doing anyways? They're just saying they're
I think there might be a little bit of a tease there, Buck. I think you're right.
Tinfoil hat.
Just all of a sudden when they show up in Orlando, what happens?
If I was to come back, I wouldn't want anyone knowing.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And there's that video of him running in the gym. He's running in the gym now.
Well,
new video.
Plus, let's be honest. We know Kevin Durant does not want the extra social media attention.
No. His burner account does. It's burner accounts.
I think he does want the social media attention.
If I want the attention, they probably don't want him to step in it between now and then.
What's your feeling? Where do you rank him as a warrior? Was he just a buy and sell guy? I mean, where do you put him as a warrior an all time in your mindset? Is he going to be like this? Oh, Kevin Durant, nice player.
I mean, he's behind Steph, Clay, and Draymond for me.
Chris Mullin?
He's behind. I mean, those guys are like I see as like career warriors. So I mean, as far as most talented, way up there. But as like as a legendary warrior, but
when you think
back,
let's say when you're 50 or something, you're gonna think back. You're gonna go, man, that Kevin Durant.
And
are you gonna be like, yeah,
I think
Kevin
it'll
Durant.
Be like, I'll be like, that was awesome when he came to our team and we won a couple championships and then he left. But I won't think of him as a warrior.
Okay. Who's,
you know
who's
what I mean?
Higher?
I think of him right now. I still think of him more as Thunder than I do Warrior.
Yeah. Who's higher on your all-time Warrior list? Kevin Durant or Monte Ellis?
Oh, Monte. We had a family cat named Monte.
Wait, you're a cat family?
Well, my stepmom is a cat person. I'm allergic to cats. I don't like cats. But I did name that cat Monte.
One thing that the NBA is kicking around is an advantage to create home court for the higher seeds upon the NBA's return. There are some out there scenarios on what the NBA could do. Which one do you like the most? To create home court advantages, everybody's going to be at a neutral site without fans. 503-250-1080. Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Now. Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Went to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text Dusty and Cam at 503-250-1080 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
503-250-1080. That is a Fan text line. Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. You know, part of the NBA's return is there is no home court advantage when the NBA playoffs start. So the NBA is kicking around an idea to create some sort of home court advantage for the higher seeds in the playoffs. And the NBA, according to multiple reports out there, has some ideas, but I think we can sort this thing all out, because it would be interesting to see what lengths the league goes to in order to create that idea or that advantage. So I'm going to read them to you. We can break them down, and I want to hear from you, 503-250-1080, on how you can give, and it could be none of these options if you have a better one out there. One of them is the higher seed gets the ball at the beginning of the second, third, and fourth quarters. So no more alternating possession at quarters. The higher seed is allowed to choose one player who'd be allowed 7 personal fouls instead of 6.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if you do that. Do you have to do that before the game starts, or can you just do it, no countsies?
These first two are redonkulous.
The higher seed being granted an extra coaches challenge. The higher seed getting preferential hotel selection at Disney.
Ugh. That is insane.
This is ridiculous.
Higher seed being allowed to transport their actual hardwood courts to Disney to create the feel of a home court advantage.
Who are the ones in the room presenting these options?
Well, there's no idea is a bad idea right now because you've never done it before. And so they're just sitting there like, all right, what could we do? And then I think this is more of just people throwing out ideas, and they don't seem very well thought out. But is one of those better than the others, or do you have something else that might be better?
Oh, I don't know. How about you just play basketball and quit worrying about what you get? How about you get to play, you get to compete, and be the better team in the same situation? It's like, what is the home court advantage in a pandemic when you're in Orlando?
Well, we've never...
You don't get a home court advantage. Nobody
They're trying to create one because we always say, you know, hey, win more games is the argument for the Blazers in their descending vote yesterday. But it's like, all right, so if you win more games, what's the reward for it? What's the reward for busting butt?
The only thing that I would think that would make sense is do it like what every other sport probably does, or give them bye week. Give them a couple bye games. If you want to do that, you don't get free wins and all this other stuff, but if it's not a bye, we're not typically asking a bye week, but if you're going to play 8 games, make them only have to play 6 or something like that if you're the top seed or 2 seeds, depending on that. Now, that's the only thing that really makes sense. You can't make a court feel like it's at home. It's not home. And you really want to give someone 7 fouls? That sounds ridiculous. Transport a court?
Actually,
what, are they
going to
grab
like
the parquet from old Boston?
Yeah.
And they're going to bring it down because it feels...
I think that is honestly really easy to do. We see them do like arena changeovers all the time. So if you can do it at your own home stadium, I don't see why you couldn't transport it just so it looks like it.
What a waste of money that is. That's a horrific waste that you got to tear up the court, transport it, get it down there when there's already a court there for the sake of what do you think that's going to cost?
I mean, this happens all the time. This happens all the time.
We see it with March Madness all the time. Yeah, we see it with
March Madness. Exactly.
They build new courts for every round.
No, I know, but they have
design courts. Redesign them.
You're talking about if Portland says we want our court there all of a sudden, and they're in Orlando, what do you think it costs to transport the court? It's a hypothetical.
Who cares?
Lakers?
They have millions of dollars.
Well,
it's their money to
blow. It's a waste of money.
Well, I mean, their money
more
to blow.
Productively used.
On what?
I don't. More productivity. Safety protocols. I don't know. Things that would actually help the league be better.
Well, yeah.
We could all brainstorm on better ways to use money than to piss it away on shipping a court.
503-250-1080. Higher seed gets to pick any color jersey for their opponent to wear. That's an interesting one. You go by the look good, feel good, play good, and you just rip one of those away.
Jersey selection make would look make ugly. Sense. That would be interesting. Like, you get to pick your jersey.
Yeah.
Uniform color.
Ooh, this is interesting. When you brought this up, my mind immediately went to playing fake crowd noises in favor of the higher seed. So maybe they get to play, like, pick the music selection, pick the, you could have like a, you could have a, even in like a, your home arena announcer. So like Mark Mason, who does the Blazer games.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He could be the in-stadium announcer remotely.
What about your dancers or your mascot?
They're not going.
So the mascot can't be there either? So Blaze the Trail Cat doesn't get to hang out down there?
No.
Really?
No.
They said that? That's in the rules?
It is, there's going to be nobody except for just players and coaches in the arenas for officials, obviously.
What about dressing up the court that makes it look like, looks so if you just have lights, like it'd be like Blazer red and black, like the intro would be your intro, and then it'd be like, and it forward 6-8 from, and then have that, like you said, make it feel like it's your home court, but actually not be the home court. Have the lights be your intro, and maybe have your, bring Blaze the Trail Cat. Have him hang out there.
Wait, how is that not a waste of money?
That's a big advantage.
How is that what not a waste of money?
How is Blaze the Trail Cat not the same waste of money as shipping the court?
Are you really going to compare flying a mascot down on an airplane?
Well, he needs lodging.
To
some wood? Yeah. I mean, what's the difference? They're both meaningless.
You guys are crazy.
I'd say they're both meaningless.
Yeah.
What? You think having the mascot is meaningless? Oh, okay, fine. Tell that to the condor from the Clippers. Tell that to the gorilla.
I think the mascot matters if you have fans, but they're not going to have fans.
It's just the feel.
So is the court.
Exactly.
I would argue that the guys don't know the feel of the court. I would argue that all day long.
But they know the feel of the mascot?
Well, yeah, because he's there.
So is the court.
You guys are making no sense at all. You just essence of dumb. I'm going to spray this cologne all over you guys right now.
Oh, my gosh. Uh-huh.
Just arguing for the sake of arguing. You do know that,
like,
right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. God.
Well, I didn't think the court idea was that bad, but Blaze the Trail Cat's the same thing.
Well, and that hurts Blaze the Trail Cat's feelings. I'm going to, well, you know what? We need to get Blaze on.
Now, that is a good point. Buck, he brings up a good point.
You can't hurt Blaze's feelings.
The court has no feelings.
The court has none.
All these I'm telling you.
The best point that has been made in this conversation is that
sure does have
the basketball court does not have feelings.
No.
All right, 503-250-1080. Oh, I like this one. Live stream fans of a team on the big screen, like for the NFL draft, where you
now
can hear crowd
sense.
Reactions and
I like
stuff.
That idea.
I want to hear more.
Yeah, there's some cool things going on in Bundesliga. They're putting up a wall of, like, people on Zoom that are all fans of the team. And so, like, the players, when they're running around, they look out, they see, like, thousands of faces of their fans.
Now we're talking. 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. This is Dusty and Cam. We're looking for advantages most beneficial to create home court in NBA's return to Orlando. This is 1080 The Fan. All right, 503-250-1080. The NBA is tinkering with ideas that could create home court advantage for higher seeds once the playoffs start in the return to Orlando. They include higher seeds getting the ball at the beginning of the second, third, and fourth quarters. The higher seed allowing to choose one player that's allowed 7 fouls. I want to see that one just because I'd love to see the look on, like, Mark D'Antoni's face when you have the Lakers get LeBron with one extra foul and he just, like, You get the higher seed, get an extra coaches challenge, preferential hotel selection at Disney.
So what? In how many hotels are at Disney?
There's a ton. There's like
what happens when the eighth seed gets Motel 6?
Well, so that was reported a week or two ago that there were some teams concerned there weren't enough good facilities, mm-hmm. and that some people were going to get left with hotels they didn't want to be in.
There are 25 Disney Resort hotel locations at Disney World. On the resort. 25.
Okay. And I'm sure some are nicer than others.
Oh, yeah.
I would, yeah, because it would make sense, wouldn't it?
Bo show. Yeah.
Some are 100%. Further, some are in different situations.
Well, and they have more affordable ones and higher end ones too.
Of course.
I mean, that's
of course.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't want to be it looks
higher
like
seed priority ranking.
It looks like you don't want to be in the Toy Story hotel.
Why?
That seems to be on the lower end of it.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But they have 25 hotels, and so I guess that could be a big advantage. 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line.
So you're going to tell Russell Westbrook and mm-hmm. James Harden has sure. to stay in the Toy Story. They're going to have, because they're the sixth seed. They're going to have to stay in the Toy Story Hotel.
Right.
Yeah. While LeBron and the rest of his crew are going to be in the.
They have a.
Are they in Mickey's house?
No.
Or, I don't know. I don't know. What are they
there
called?
Is a. Oh my gosh.
Now those
I'm
two.
I'm forgetting the really nice hotel chain.
I don't know the hotel. Hilton? No.
Nope.
No.
No, 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 no. I'm talking super high end. Oh, my gosh.
Super high end. What's considered?
Oh, Four Seasons. There's a Four Seasons at Disney World. Yeah. So, like, you could stay at that. Like, that's where LeBron and Giannis are probably staying. Meanwhile, you know, the Blazers are going to be at the Woody Hotel, at the Toy Story Hotel.
I hope they do that. That'll be fascinating to me to watch the movies. We're staying at the Toy Story.
You've got a friend
I had a double room.
Oh, goodness.
I couldn't even get my own room.
All right.
There's fighting words when you're a veteran in the NFL. You're like, I get my own room. Rookies, we didn't get our own rooms. We had a room together.
Here is one. Well, then nobody's going to have roommates in this because they want to keep players
no,
separate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
if they can't sit
that.
Next to each other on the bench, I don't think they're going to let them share
so wait a minute.
Together.
Again, they can play on the same team, but they can't room together?
Yeah.
Very confusing.
All right, this text says, these are all asinine ideas. What does Vegas say home court is worth in basketball? How about just spotting the home team with that many points to start? And that's an interesting one. Betting is more widely accepted now. And according to onlinebetting.com, quick Google search said the average home court advantage in the NBA is around 2.33 points per game.
But when do you spot them that? At the beginning of the game?
Just at the beginning of the game.
Oh, I was going to say like the last 2 minutes of the game, they'll automatically get two points.
Boop.
Just add an extra 2 points in.
Between the third and fourth quarters when the crowd is supposed to come alive.
Yeah.
Here's your free 2 points.
I think the texter that said, you know, have crowd noise pumped in. And then if you could do like a remote version of, you know, the in-stadium announcers, you know, because you talk about getting pumped up. Watching The Last Dance, all of us were talking about how the Bulls' introduction, that just got everybody's juices flowing. And
it's
that
a big
was
deal.
25 years ago. We were listening to that.
It's the greatest intro ever.
And so there could be an advantage to that where if you're piping in crowd noise to where like if fans can hook up their computers, but the whole hard part about that is that you have lag, right? You have lag from the game that's actually happening going to the homes and then the reactions coming back. There would be lag on that. But if you could do like closed circuit where Mark Mason is watching it live at Moda Center and he can do the, you know, Dame for three or you know, whatever one, you know, CJ from downtown.
Let's just all agree.
That would be pretty cool.
There's no real right answer. Just playing basketball would be interesting to watch. It'll be different. But at least these guys will get a chance to compete. We'll see them spaced out on the bench, yet they will contact each other, breathe, and abuse each other on the court because it's a contact sport. So no matter what, we're going to get basketball, and that's a good thing.
I still don't understand how they're going to do, like, huddles during timeouts. That's an interesting one. Like, come on. The whole theory behind what you're doing is that everybody is going to be testing negative throughout the course of this mm-hmm. if you are playing in the game or you are on the bench. So
right.
it shouldn't
so
matter how far apart you are
exactly.
sitting from each other.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
I do appreciate, though, that Adam Silver and the NBA are going down the lines of look, we're going to take any idea, no matter how dumb it is, like, you know, giving preferential hotel treatment or giving an extra foul to somebody, because this is kind of an uncharted territory and you're going to find out who, you know, or what ideas are, can be brought that could improve the game. I mean,
like,
what if somebody comes up with a good
there,
one?
It's like Hunger Games. It's just survival of the fittest. Who's going to be the toughest team? Who's going to let the most stuff bother them mentally? Yeah, that's kind of how it's going to look. You'd be agitated, stay in the bad hotel. You might find Michael Jordan. I just need an edge. I just need some reason to get angry and do it. You put me in Motel 6, I'll show you guys. We'll make a run, and Kevin Durant will come back. Kyrie Irving, they'll win the championship.
Yeah. This text says, if they start piping in manufactured and poorly timed crowd reactions to live play, it's going to look and sound worse than watching old episodes of MASH.
Well, how do we
know listening that? To the laugh track.
I don't know if we'll know that.
Well, I haven't, granted, I have not watched a ton of it, but I've flipped on the Bundesliga a couple of times when it's on.
Yeah, so have I. They
do a good job with that crowd noise.
I think it sounds great.
And Buck was saying, I think it's pretty cool that they do have, and it's only in a couple of stadiums that they're doing the bank of, like, the a wall of monitors that has fans that are watching the game on Zoom. Yeah. I think those would be good ideas, that if the NBA were to do it, you could go ahead and it could create a little bit of a home feeling for some of those teams.
Sure.
But look, you're not going to truly recreate home court advantage.
Yeah, it's just not possible.
Because momentum is a hell of a thing. Mm-hmm. And you feed off of the crowd during momentum swings. I mean, think of just in the Blazers running the playoffs, like the logo three that Dame hit.
Yep.
I mean, it was fueled by momentum. You know, that triple overtime marathon. How much momentum against Denver was that game based on and built off of? The crowd played a huge role in that game. So I think that you have all of these instances where it just can't be recreated in Orlando. But I like the fact that they're trying to do it. And anything they can do, I'm on board with. 503-250-1080. Random question, but are the hotel workers and drivers getting tested like the players are? We will answer that next hour. Thank you guys for texting in on the P1 social. Got some good ideas, some hilarious ones as well. We'll address those. Plus, next hour, Mark Emmert, the head of the NCAA, he addressed Congress about the return of college football. Hear what he had to say and what lawmakers are thinking about the return of college football this fall. But next, the MLB continuing to miss the point. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.